Morning, folk. I believe it's awesome to be found in the presence of God. And it's in God's presence that things happen. Things are said. As I stood up, I said to Keith, thanks for preaching my sermon. Okay. Not really. A lot of what he said is what I believe that God has laid on my heart this morning. And So, as you get there, please let's just bear with me if I repeat anything. But if I have to repeat it, I believe it's because it's what God wants us really to take note of. And this morning, I'd like you to turn with me to the weeping prophet, to Jeremiah chapter 45. I'm going to be using a couple of verses there, and I believe that it's for the church, where we find ourselves today. And if I had to ask all of us to stand up, not right now, those of us who find ourselves in a situation, as has been mentioned this morning, lack of work, we've got problems with relationships, whatever it is that you feel that you're overwhelmed with, stress at work, whatever it is, stand up. Let's stand up. Or is there nobody here? Is it just me? Because I'm the only one standing. Thank you. There's some people that are honest here. All right? Folk, what I'm saying, you may sit down. What I'm saying here today is, it's not just one person. And right at the end of the sermon, I want to give you a bit of a testimony as to what God did for me in all these situations. But firstly, let's go to the Word of God, because I believe that's where we need to start. Jeremiah chapter 45. And do you seek great things for yourself? No, let's go further up. In fact, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, to you, Barak. What happened there? I believe that, as the Word says, that Jeremiah was busy dictating a letter to Barak. And he was writing it out. He was a scribe. And right at the end of this, Jeremiah, being a prophet, said, Barak, this is what God has to say to you. You said, woe is me now. For the Lord has added grief to my sorrow. I've fainted in my sighting, and I have found no rest. Thus you shall say to him, thus says the Lord, behold, what I have built I will break down. What I have planted I will pluck up. That is this whole land. And do not seek great things for yourself. Do not seek them, for behold, I will bring adversity on all flesh, says the Lord, but I will give you your life. But I will give your life to you as a prize in all places wherever you go. The New Living Translation says this, Barak, this is what the Lord says. I will destroy this nation that I built. I will uproot what I planted. Are you seeking great things for yourself? Don't do it. But don't be discouraged. I will bring great disaster upon all these people, but I will protect you wherever you go. I, the Lord, have spoken. Folk, I asked the question, are there any one of us here with circumstances? As we look at the whole issue that led up to this, Barak had obviously been crying out to God because of the situation and the circumstances he found himself in. He felt like his life had come to an end. What was life worth living for? In fact, I believe that God had something great for him. seems like Barak's personal goals had come to nothing. Like many of us feel here today. We have goals in life. We want to achieve certain things. But yet they come to naught. Niggas, nothing. It's like we've wasted our time. His desire is to seek great things for himself, meeting with no success, left him gloomy, left him down in the dumps, feeling like he was lower than a snake belly in Snake Valley. Yet I believe that God spoke these words, and it was at this point, through Jeremiah, God asked Barak a soul-searching question. And I believe we need to ask ourselves this question if we want to get answers to our situations. He said, are you seeking great things for yourself? Don't do it. Don't be discouraged. I will protect you wherever you go. God's word to Barak has a strong message, I believe, for God's people today. Many people who profess their faith in Jesus Christ are caught up in the greedy spirit of the world, which says, more for me, or great things for me. Perhaps it would be a good idea today for Christians to consider God's warning to Barak. Are you seeking great things for yourself? Don't do it. Somewhere, somehow, we have lost the old motto that says, God first, others second, and self last. But I want to start this morning with the 5 points that I have. And I'm going to try and make them short. The first point is this. What do you want? Ouch. What do you want? Scripture says, do not seek great things for yourself. Are you looking for great things for yourself today? And folk, if you are in a situation or a circumstance, I tell you this today, as I have experienced in my own life, you are looking for great things for yourself. Because you think, everybody's got great amounts of money. I'm talking maybe a financial situation now. Therefore, yes, I want great amounts of money. It's going to release me from this situation. Isn't that looking for great things for ourselves? You know, your boss is on your back, bringing major stress and tension, and you say, Lord, I want to be the greatest in the office. Why? Because you're getting him off my back. You see, folk, that's looking for great things for ourselves. God wants you to be in a much closer relationship with himself than just simply receiving his gifts. In fact, this is what great things do. We want these great things, but it's a gift from God. And therefore, what are we seeking? Are we seeking God more, or are we seeking his gifts more? That's why the question is, what do you want? He wants to get to know him. He wants you to get to know God himself. And you know what, folk? Even some of those great things that you desire this morning are only secondary. Because it's here 1 minute and gone the next. That's how easy it is. There's nothing easier than getting into the right relationship with God. Unless it's not God you're seeking, but only what he can give you. If you have only come as far as asking God for things, you have never come to the point of understanding the least bit about what surrender really means. And maybe this morning, this may be a sore point. We sing that song, I surrender all. I was most vociferous about that song because it just meant, I surrender all. I thought I'd surrendered all. Until I read the scripture. Then I was running around on hot coals. I think I've still got a few blisters underneath my feet from it. You see, folk, I don't think we surrender all at all. We need to get to that point of knowing exactly where God wants us to be. And we have to surrender. If we're not surrendering all, I believe that we've become a Christian on our own terms. Not on God's terms. We protest and we say, I asked God for the Holy Spirit, but He didn't give me the rest and the peace that I expected. I believe God puts His finger on the very reason this morning. You're not seeking the Lord Jesus at all. You're seeking something great for yourself. Maybe it seems hard, folk. But you know, I believe that this is one of the solutions to every circumstance that we find, that we have to go through. Jesus said, ask and it'll be given you. In Matthew 7:7, in Matthew 6:8, it says, our Father knows the things that you need before you ask Him. Then why ask? The answer is simply this, so that you may get to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you said, oh Lord, completely fill me with the Holy Spirit? If God does not, it's because you are not totally surrendered to Him. There's something you're still refusing to do. You know, folk, when I prepared this and it's been coming for some time, I had to ask myself that question, those questions. When I came to this point, I realized so often in our lives, in my life, you know, there's that secret cupboard. It's got that 12-inch thick steel door on it. And it says, do not enter or else be persecuted. All right? That's my cupboard. Leave it alone. But you know what? If I want God to answer, help me up out of those circumstances, I've got to break that door down. And I've got to take it and throw it into the sea of forgetfulness. And I've got to allow God to go into that safe. In the servo office, we've got a safe, man. I tell you what, it's about as big as this stage with all the books, because it's all legal documents stacked up in there. And that's what is in my safe. And I had to open that and allow God in. You know, when you start doing that, it's painful. Mense dat hy geraamd is daar binnen maak seer. Okay. Those skeletons inside hurt. We need to understand that. Are you prepared to ask yourself, what is it you want from God and why you want it? God always ignores your present level of completeness. Why? Because He knows that there's an ultimate future completeness that He desires. That's greater than what you or I can ever think of. He's not concerned about blessing you and making you happy. You might say, oh, that's a hard one. Why do you say that? But folk, it's the truth. It's the truth. He's more concerned about you being fulfilled in Him than what your happiness is about. See, my happiness is, give me a Maserati. Give me a mansion. Give me several houses. That's all our concerns are. You know, God's not worried about that. He's worried about your soul and my soul this morning. That's why I believe we need to ask the question is, what do we want? Secondly, I believe that the reason why we don't surrender is because of that uncertainty in our lives. There's always an amount of uncertainty in our lives. In 1 John 3, 2, it says, it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. And you see, it's that uncertainty, because we're always trying to forecast accurately what will happen next. I remember when I was working on the mines, we had to do forecasts as to how much reserve can be taken out and how much money is going to be afforded. And many times in our life, that's exactly what we're doing. We're trying to achieve greater heights by looking at the reserves and the resources we have so that we can achieve these greater things in life. And folk, it brings uncertainty into our lives. And we don't like uncertainty. We want to know from day to day, if I walk from here to that organ, that's where I'm walking. If I want to go somewhere, I say to Shirley, phone, and she doesn't phone. Man, do I have a hissy? Why? Because I want to know that the people are there. I want to know that they're expecting us, that they're going to welcome us. And that's exactly what we're about. And we look at uncertainty as being a bad thing. In all our lives, as Christians, as unbelievers, we all see it as a bad thing. It brings stress into our lives. We think that we must reach some predestined goal. But folk, I want to tell you this morning, that's not the nature of our spiritual lives. That's not what God is expecting from you and I. The nature of a spiritual life is that we are certain in our uncertainties. Now that sounds like a big mouthful. Certainty is the mark of a common sense life, where gracious uncertainty is the mark of a spiritual life. To be certain of that God means what He says. That's what I'm saying this morning. We need to be certain that God means that we are uncertain in all our ways, not knowing what tomorrow will bring. But we are certain that God will do what He will say He is going to do. As soon as we abandon ourselves to God and do the task He has placed closest to us, He begins to fill our lives with surprises. From one day to the next, do we know what God's going to do for us? You see, that's the uncertainty. But we're certain that He is more than able and more than capable of achieving what He says He's going to achieve. If our certainty is only our belief, we develop a sense of self-righteousness. We become overly critical and are limited by the view of our beliefs and are complete and unsettled. But when we are in the right relationship with God the Father, life is full of spontaneous, joyful, uncertain expectations. Jesus said, believe also in me. Not believe certain things about me. We need to leave everything to Him, and it'll be glorious. And a gracious uncertainty how He will come in and do the right thing. But you can be certain that He will come. And that's our certainty today. As Christians, we are certain, we are assured that Jesus will. He is God of the impossible. How about surrendering that impossible situation to Him today? I believe the third point is this: we need to take possession of our souls. By your patience, possess your souls. Luke 21:19. When a person is born again, there's a period of time when he does not have the same energy in his thinking of reasoning that he previously had. I believe when we start taking possession of our souls, we need to develop the mind of Christ in ourselves. But many of us prefer to stay right at the entrance to the Christian life. Instead of going on to create and build our souls in accordance with the new life God has placed within us, we fail because we are ignorant of the way God has made us. And we blame things on the devil that are actually the result of our own undisciplined natures. Just think of what we can be when our souls have been awakened. Just think of it. The problem that most of us are cursed with is that we say, we won't. I say to you, surrender. No, I won't. We are denying ourselves a blessing. We are denying ourselves the entrance into more than what that God has for us. I do apologize. We are denying ourselves entrance into more that what God has for ourselves. Because we say we won't. The Christian life is one of spiritual courage and determination lived out in the flesh. We're flesh. We're not spirits, we're flesh. Therefore we've got to live out that spirit, that Christian life in our lives. That the world can see that there is something that is different. Sorry, the fourth point is this. In those situations, in those circumstances that you find yourself as a wreck. And I'm sure many of us have seen some of the wrecks that come off the roads of South Africa. And that's how you feel that your life is. That's where your life was. That's how you feel about your life. We had the privilege of going to England in 2007. And we landed up at Coventry Cathedral. Now, as many of you know, the cathedral was bombed during the Second World War. And it was left in ashes. And on there it says, there's a sphinx that rising out of the ashes. It gives us such a sense of joy as I begin to see this. God wants to rise us up out of the ashes of our circumstances and build something within us that will never be destroyed again. You see, He says to us, rise up. Rise up out of that wreck. Come out of those ashes. I have something for you today. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? In Romans 8:35. God does not keep His children immune from trouble, but His promise is this: I will be with Him in a time of trouble. And folk, I believe today we need to rise up because the love of Christ is there for us today. It doesn't matter how real or intense the difficulty or the misfortune may be. But nothing can ever separate us from our relationship with God. In all these things we are more than conquerors in the love of Jesus Christ today. And I believe the messages that came out today was exactly that. Rise up in the love of Jesus Christ. I believe Jesus is saying to us, to you and I today, that we are super. Listen to the word. We are super victors. And if you're not shouting amen this morning, then we're going to pray for you, because you've got a problem that's pulling you down and you need to rise up, because Jesus loves you more than what you're giving him credit for. In the midst of them, in the midst of those troubles, it's not because of our own resourcefulness, it's because of our courage. But because none of them affect our essential relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, folk, shall it be tribulation? Shall it be distress? Shall it be famine? And we know that tribulation is never a grand or a welcoming event. But whatever it may be, whether exhaustion, whether irritation or somebody being irritating, or simply causing some weakness in our lives, it is not true. It is not able to separate us from the love of Christ. We need to believe that we are more than conquerors because of the loving grace of Jesus Christ. The only thing that can account for it is the love of God in Jesus Christ. It is this that rises us up out of the wrecks that we are. The love of Jesus that rises you up. Thank you, Jesus, for your love. Thank you, Jesus. And as I conclude this morning, I believe the final point is this. We need to live simply, yet stay focused. Look at the birds of the air, as spoken of in Matthew 6, verse 26 and 28. Consider the lilies of the fields. They neither toil, nor do they spin. They are simple. It's the simple things of life. Think of the sea, the air, the sun, the stars, the moon. All are simple. Yet all are well. Yet, folk, what a ministry. What a service they render on our behalf. So often, we impair. In other words, we the blockage of God's desired influence and God's designed influence, which He has desired for you and I. Because of our own conscious efforts to be consistent and useful. In essence, Jesus was saying, do not worry about being of use to others. Simply believe on me. In other words, pay attention to the source. What is your source this morning? Your resources? Yourself? Other men? No, folk, I believe our resource is the love of Jesus Christ, which He gave to you and I. The day that we accepted Jesus Christ, He came into our hearts and He said, here is the most powerful resource that you ever have. Stay focused on it. I believe our attention needs to be focused on the source. And from that very source within our hearts will flow rivers of living water. We cannot discover the source of our natural life through common sense and reasoning. And Jesus is teaching us here that growth in our spiritual life does not come from focusing directly on the source, but from concentrating on our Father in heaven. Our Heavenly Father knows our circumstances. If we will stay focused on Him instead of our circumstances, we will grow spiritually just as the lilies of the field. If you want to be of use to God, you need to maintain a proper relationship with Jesus Christ by staying focused on Him, and He will make use of you every moment of your life. Now, at the beginning of this message, I said, folk, I'm going to share my testimony. I'm not going to go back too far. Shirley said, no, don't. Some years back, it's quite a few years back now, it's almost 8 years ago, I handed over the church that we had in Randfontein, because I believe that we'd heard from God, but time wasn't quite right, but our season was complete in Randfontein. You know, when you've been in charge of a church and you've got to hand it over, you go through certain things. Shirley packed up the school that we had. It was our financial resource. And suddenly we found ourselves in dire straits. There's no work. I tried. God came back and He, through some unknown source, and they asked me, do I build models? And I said yes. Eventually that dried up, but you know, when you're 7 months out of work, it starts playing havoc on your pocket, especially when there's no pocket. All right. And eventually I got a job, and so things went on. It got to the stage where I was once again without job, because they didn't need me in the position, and therefore they sort of closed that department down and retrenched everybody. I feel like that's not a pleasant situation to be in. And maybe I'm talking to many people here. You've been through this. You know what I'm talking about. And once again, for several months, where you just think you're getting up out of it, you're down and out again. You know, the financial institutions are on your back because you have no finances to fulfill your commitment. It's not that I didn't want to fulfill my commitment, it just was there. They start taking things back. Man, folk, I want to say this to you. It's not a pleasant place to be in. Pray for those that are going through it. But one thing I did, I became as a little child. I went into a room and I closed the door. And I stomped my feet and I bashed my feet and I punched the wall, and, you know, like a teenager and a child, throwing a tantrum. And as I just plonked down onto the floor, prostrate, out of total sheer exhaustion, heard God say to me, was that really necessary? What have you achieved? He said, but remember this, I will always be with you, no matter what it is that you're going through right now. In fact, I want to say this to you, that God came through for us. I don't have a bad name with the institution, because God came through. 2 years ago, I thought I was going to meet my maker. I was having such a stressful time at work. I was so stressed out. It was like my world had been taken out from underneath me. Couldn't understand why. Why the sudden change in my life? But I want to say this, God came through. It's only just recently that God has brought me through to these things, these points that I've brought to you today. What do I want? What do I expect from God? And I had to answer those questions very seriously. In fact, it was here, I was sitting there, feeling like I was going to have a heart attack any moment. And God came through and said to me, David, surrender everything. Remember I spoke to you about that 12-inch thick steel door? Mine must have been 200 meters thick. But God had to break through it. And God did that day. And fuck, I want to tell you with great assurance today, when I surrendered everything to Jesus Christ, that job situation, whatever else other situation might have been, I gave it to Jesus. I put it at the foot of His cross. Fuck, today, I walk into that job which I hated walking into. I hated going to work for 2 years of my life. It was a bind. It was the worst thing I could ever do. But when I handed it over to God, I suddenly walked in there with a smile on my dial. Big smile. And they started being nasty and I just smiled and I said, "Fuck, great stuff. Let's see what we can do about it." You know what, folk? When Jesus takes control, those situations change. Every situation changes. Today, I can say, because of Jesus Christ, because of the love of Christ, because of what He's done for me, He's raised me up out of the ashes. Because I can tell you, I know what it's been to be like, feeling like a wreck. You have no confidence. There is no joy in your life. But today, as I've shared that word, I've shared it from my heart because I want you, those of you who stood up this morning, I want you to know that no matter what your circumstances might be, God is more than able. If you come up here this morning and come and say, "Lord, I want to surrender all," remember the love of Jesus is going to fill that void. Because that void, that stress is a void in your life. That stress is that little skeleton that you don't want to get rid of. Fuck, I say, come and give it to Jesus today. Come and give it to Him. And see the joy, the freedom, the peace, the smile that's going to split your head if it weren't for your ears. That's what Jesus can do. That's what He does do. He did it for me. He can do it for you. And I'm not boasting this morning. I'm sharing it because I want you. If you feel stressed, now whether it be relationship, whatever circumstances that you have, fuck, here's the altar. Here's the altar this morning. Come and put it here. And leave it here. Don't take it back. Say to my son, "Go and put it down." When I look again, he's carrying his little suitcase with his dinky toys. Leave your dinky toys at the altar. Leave your dolls at the altar. Leave your skeletons at the altar. And let God take control.